high. The mountain I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. I'm going where the chilly winds don't blow. I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. I'm gonna hide behind the mountain. I'm going where the chilly winds don't. Oh, I know that Jesus is the mountain. I know that Jesus is the mountain. I know that Jesus is the mountain. I'm going where the chilly winds don't blow. I'm going where the every day will be Sunday. Sabbath will have no end. Will you meet me there? Will you meet me there? Will you meet me there? Oh Lord, I want you to help me. Come on and help me say that. Help me on my journey. Help me on my way. I'm asking you, oh Lord, I want you to help me. While I'm praying, I want you to help me. Can you help me say that? Help me on my journey. Help me on my way. Oh Lord. Oh, while I'm singing, I want you to help me. Oh. While I'm singing, help me on my journey. Help me on my way. I'm singing, oh, oh Lord, I want you to help me. Oh, help me. Oh Lord, help me, Lord. I can't make it on my own. I need your strength and your power. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. I need you right now. Come on and help me, Lord. Oh, come on in. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. I need you. Can't make it by myself. When I'm all alone, feeling down, no one there around. I need you to walk with me. I need you to talk me through. Everywhere I go, I need you, Lord, That's why I'm asking you, oh Lord, I want you to help me. I said, help me on my journey, help me on my way. Oh Lord, I want you to help me.
Amen. While we're on our journey, while we're on our way, what journey? This journey that we call life, this journey that we take from day to day, we can try it on our own, and it's 50-50 at best. And as crazy as the world is, I would say it's probably more like 95-5 against us. But when you have your faith in Jesus, amen, you have a guarantee that you're going to have victory over the trials and challenges of this world. God didn't promise us he'll do what all we want him to do the way we say we want him to do it. But he did promise us that he'll show up. And he did promise us that he'll help us. He'll give us victory. He did say some things we can ask in his name. We can have it, but it's according to his will for our lives. See, because I don't want anything for myself that Jesus doesn't want to give me. Sometimes I think I want things, and I think they're best for me. The reality is they're not. So, Lord, don't ever give me anything you don't want me to have. But if my prayer is within your will, then hallelujah to his name. Father, we thank you now for this preaching opportunity. And not for any form or fashion, just use me, Lord, to share your word. And I pray that hearts will be fertile soil and minds will be open to receive so that the transforming power of your word, Lord Jesus, will help us all be better followers of you and better citizens and Christians in this world. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Giving honor to God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity of Jehovah God, to the officers and members of Roanoke Salem Missionary Baptist Church, to those who are visiting from other places, we welcome you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to please, church family, if you will, let's go to the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. Jeremiah, chapter 32. Can we give the Lord a hand praise with this male choir again and ushers? Oh, come on now, come on. Let's give the Lord a hand praise for the choir and ushers. Choir and musicians and our ushers. Ushers, you all may be seated. You already are. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 32. Just going to lift one verse of scripture. One verse of scripture. Jeremiah chapter 32. This is verse number 27. Verse number 27. And I'm going to read this from the King James Version. This is what it says. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse number 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And then he asked a rhetorical question. Is there anything too hard for me? The answer to that question is no. There is nothing too hard for him. Let me read it one more time. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh, saved or unsaved. He's still the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, church family, this is not a traditional message, so please kind of bear with me. But I promise if you keep your spiritual minds open, I'm confident this word is going to bless you. The sermon topic for this morning is who tied off the veins? Who, T-I-E-D, tied off the veins, V-E-I-N-S? Everybody here knows that we are living in the information and technology age. IT is what people in that industry generally refer to it as IT, information and technology. We have these so-called smartphones and televisions and computers that we use to do everything under the sun. We buy food, We buy clothes, we buy houses and cars, we can do all that online. We do our banking, we keep our daily schedule. Some of us, if we didn't have our smartphone, we'd be lost. Wouldn't even know who we were without that phone. Could we keep our whole daily lives and schedules on a phone, and all that information is stored up there somewhere in something they call the iCloud. We attend business meetings and social gatherings online. Amen. Virtual meetings, virtual reality. We meet people to date online. That was a time we would never meet nobody other than, you know, face to face. But now you can swipe them. You can swipe right. Don't like what they look like. Don't look like what they look like or what they look, little caption there. Just swipe them. Keep going. We do all that online. Modern information and technology even allows us to create 3D objects from images we create on computer. Did you know that? You can now create an image on a computer, and if you have the right technology, the right, you know, tool or resources, you can create, you know, guns, and you can create shoes, and you can create all kinds of stuff with right there looking at your computer, and it's telling this machine what to do, and it's building it right in front of your eyes. All that is because of modern information and technology. All these great and scientific advancements, they're helpful and useful to probably tens of millions of people around the world. And let me say this very quickly. I am blessed, and I feel blessed that I live in this modern information and technology age. Why? Because it helps me in many ways too. I benefit, just like most of you all do, from modern information and technology. My only regret about IT is this. Because of that knowledge, that modern knowledge of information and technology, there are too many people that forget that the wisdom to create and apply information and technology comes from God and not from man. Amen. As I often have said, and y'all have heard me say at Roanoke Salem, human beings, we only know what God allows us to know. And we can only do what God allows us to do. Yeah, I mean, it's just that simple. And I don't expect unsaved people to agree with that statement. They probably won't. They probably tell me I'm crazy, I'm foolish. I just say that because I don't know how to use the information and technology the way they do. But that's not true. The problem, though, is when Christians forget sometimes how truly awesome God is. So every now and then, God will perform miracles in situations to remind Christians just how great he is. And he reminds unsaved people that God is real. Every now and again, God will allow something to happen, or he'll do something that you have to say it had to be God, because no man can do it, and if man could do it, they would already have done it. Amen. He just reminds all of us that he's God all by himself. Amen. And in the Bible, there are many, many stories about God doing miraculous things for people. And a lot of times, if you think about it, those stories are God showing up sometimes doing miraculous things with people who are having medical or health crisis. Amen. Remember the blind man who was blind from birth? Jesus told the disciples God allowed that to happen so that he would get the glory. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus told the disciples, he said, and before we got to that part, the story had already told us that the woman had been to every doctor of her day. She had enough money, but with all her money and all the doctors that she had gone to for 12 years, they couldn't do anything for her. It wasn't until she just touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she became well and whole. Amen now. Remember the son of the sick Roman official came to Jesus, said, Jesus, please come to my house. My son is home dying with a fever. If you don't get there soon, he's going to die. Jesus told him, just go your way. Your son is already healed. And the man, before he got home, was met by some of his servants, and they told him that his son was healed. And when the man asked, well, when did he make the change? When did he make the turn? They told him when it was, and the man remembered immediately. It's exactly when Jesus said, go your way. Your son is already healed. And then last but not least, remember Lazarus, the one that Jesus loved. Sister sent word, the one you love is dead. Jesus waited two more days, before he even went that way. When he showed up, one sister said, "Jesus, I know that, you know, we're going to see him again in the afterlife." No, Jesus said, "No, I am the life." And then he just went to where he was in a tomb and said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus rose up alive, just as alive as we are right now. The point I'm making with all that is that there are times when Jesus will do some miraculous things just to remind us that there's nobody like him. Last week, I was told a story about a crisis medical situation. And I'm going to share this story with you all this morning because I want to remind us that no matter what human beings may accomplish, Jehovah God deserves all honor, all praise, and all the glory. Tony Moore is my neighbor in Seaboard. He's a brother in Christ. He's a good friend. And he's also a master carpenter. He's done some work for us. He lives right there, like I said, in Seaboard with his wife, Barbara. Barbara's a dear Christian sister in Christ. I've known Barbara and her family for years. On Monday, August the 4th, a few months, matter of fact, be 2 weeks ago tomorrow, Tony and one of his buddies, a man named Lorenzo, they were doing some remodeling work at Tony's church in Roanoke, Salem. We've been there. It's right outside of Emporia on Highway 58 East. Our combined choir was asked to go there about two, I think it was in 2017. And the church is about 8 to 10 miles outside of Emporia. Amen. So Tony and Lorenzo are out there and they're doing some remodeling. And they have to take a glass window out of the church. Tony said the window was about 6 feet long, about 5 foot wide. They're carrying the window, the glass pane, on either end. Lorenzo on one end, Tony on the other end, when the glass breaks. The pane breaks, and the way it broke, church family, it sliced Mr. Lorenzo across both his arms. Tony didn't get hurt, but the way it broke, it sliced him. Now, the right arm was cut, and the skin was kind of pushed, but the left arm had a severe cut. Tony said that he could actually see down to Mr. Lorenzo's bones. He could see his bone in his arm. Tendons and muscles and sinews and veins cut because of the way the glass broke. He began, as you can imagine, just bleeding profusely. Tony said it was no time to wait to call the EMTs. Closest EMT would have been in Capering, which was about 12 miles or so away, and by the time they got the call, and by the time they got to where Tony and Lorenzo were, and by the time they transported him to the hospital, he could have been dead. So Tony made the right decision, and he put Lorenzo in his truck, and he starts to drive towards the hospital. Probably about a 20, 25-minute drive, if you consider that there's a little section where the speed slows down on 58 to like 35, you're going through Druryville, and then there's a light before you get into Emporia. Tony probably made it in about 10 minutes. I'm sure he did, but all he had to give Lorenzo was just a white towel that he had put in the truck just that morning before he left the house. He said, "I don't normally carry towels like that." He said, "But before I walked out of the house that morning, I just had a feeling. I said, let me go over here and get this towel. I can wipe some sweat with it or something." So he had this white towel he gave to Lorenzo, and Lorenzo puts it on top of his left arm, and Tony says as they're driving towards the hospital, he says that blood is just everywhere. Blood is just, as you can imagine. Matter of fact, Tony told me the blood was so thick down in the floorboard, he said I could actually, he said when I got back home and I hadn't, you know, cleaned the blood out yet, he said I could actually scoop the blood with my hand. That's how much blood Mr. Lorenzo was losing. When they got to the hospital in Emporia, drove in front of the emergency room, door. Lorenzo opened the door to get out, and then he fell back in the truck, and he told Tony, he said, "I can't move, man." He said, "Not only I can't move," then he said, "and I can't see." Life was literally going out of his body. They get him inside the emergency room. The doctor comes, and Tony, kind of as an aside, said that the doctor said that was her first day on the job in Emporia as an emergency room doctor, and her comment was, "This is my first day on the job, and I've got a patient that I can't help." Because when she looked at his arm and the severity of it, she said, "I can't do anything for you." They cleaned the wound, they wrapped it, and she said, "You got to go to Petersburg. because there is an orthopedic surgeon there. Tony goes home, gets his wife, and Lorenzo and his wife, who by that time has made it to the hospital in Emporia, Lorenzo's transported to Petersburg. Amen. When they get to Petersburg, the orthopedic surgeon looks at Lorenzo's arm. He says, I can't do anything for you. He said, because the severity of the cut in your muscles and your tendons and all, he said, you need a person who's a hand specialist. So he just says, we got to immediately transfer you on to Richmond. And you all know what we call MCV. It's the Medical College of Virginia. It's a teaching and training college, and they have all kinds of experts there. So that's where Lorenzo ended up. So they got him there and got him stabilized, and they performed the surgery the next day, and he stayed there about 2-3 days. And he went in on that Monday. I guess by the following Friday, he was home. The next week, Tony goes to visit Lorenzo at home right outside of Emporia, and they were talking about what had happened in the whole situation. And Lorenzo tells Tony that while the orthopedic surgeon in Petersburg was examining him, he had asked him a strange question. The orthopedic surgeon asked Lorenzo, who tied off the veins? Lorenzo didn't know what he was talking about. Yeah, the orthopedic surgeon looked at his arm and he was examining him. He had already determined he couldn't help him, but he asked him that question. He said, who tied off the veins? Now think about it, church family. The orthopedic surgeon had the knowledge and the training to recognize a surgical procedure when he saw one. Somebody had done a surgical procedure on Lorenzo's arm. And Lorenzo told him, he said, well, I never lost conscious through all of this. I was weak, but I never went out. He said nobody has done anything to me. But the surgeon was insisting that somebody had tied off the veins in his left arms. This is the significance of it. Whoever tied off those veins stopped the left arm from bleeding. And because the left arm stopped bleeding, Mr. Lorenzo didn't die right there in Tony's truck. When they got to Emporia, let me back up with just 1 second, just share this, what that emergency room doctor told Tony. She said, if you had to take him just 5 more miles down the road, he wouldn't have made it. But again, she couldn't do anything for him. Somebody had tied off the veins in Mr. Lorenzo's left arm. When Lorenzo told Tony that story, when he told him what the orthopedic surgeon in Petersburg said, Tony said something went all over him. Because in that minute, Tony realized he had witnessed a miracle in real time, but he didn't recognize it when it happened. He had witnessed a miracle in real time, but he did not recognize that miracle when it happened. Amen. Amen now. Tony could not have tied off the veins because, number one, he didn't know how to do that, and he was driving. The emergency room doctor in Emporia did not tie off Lorenzo's veins because she said she couldn't do anything for him. And for those of you who may be skeptics, and you might say the bleeding just stopped because Lorenzo's blood clotted by itself. Nah, he lost too much blood for it to clot. The man was near death. But the surgeon in Petersburg knows the difference between blood clotting and a surgical procedure. Somebody did tie off Lorenzo's veins in his left arm, and that somebody was Dr. Jesus. Between the drive from the church before they got to the hospital in Emporia, Jesus stepped in and he performed a medical miracle. He supernaturally did a surgery that only the most highly skilled trained people can perform. Like I said before, church family, sometimes Jesus will do something that no human being can do. In this situation, Jesus changed what should have been a terrible tragedy into a terrific testimony. He changed what should have been a major mishap into a mind-blowing miracle. Jesus changed what should have been a devastating death into a divine deliverance. Glory, hallelujah to his name. There is nothing too hard for the Lord Jesus. Now, somebody might hear this message somewhere, and I only say that because I know we're on podcasts and some other venues, and somebody might hear this, and they might ask the question, well, if Jesus is all that you say he is, why does he allow bad things to happen? Now, I can't answer that question for all situations, but I do know that sometimes Jesus allows bad things to happen because human beings, individually and collectively, we've rejected him. Amen. You think about it. A lot of us don't want him in our homes, don't have any evidence of him in our homes. We've taken him out of the public schools here in America years ago. Don't want him in our political affairs. We always claim that separation of church and state. We don't. Not only that, we don't only want to elect politicians who say that they might be Christians. Amen. We don't want them in our legal systems. We don't want them in any of our public places. I've seen so many stories over the last 10, 15, 20 years about one community, one municipality after other that goes and they pass laws that say you can't have any nativity scenes in public or in public places, you know, during the Christmas holiday season. You know, can't put a baby Jesus in a manger and a lamb and some wise men and some shepherds out like you could years ago. No, you can't do that. No. So we have rejected him. We really don't want a whole lot to do with Jesus. And so because of that, Jesus sometimes allows us to suffer the consequences of our sins. Some bad things happen to people because of their sins. Amen now. We have, and I want us to know this now, our sins as human beings have a direct impact on animals and nature. I know somebody will say, no, you crazy. No, you a lie. Because the Bible says that when the Lord, and Jesus was there too as the Holy Trinity, when they created human beings, they gave man dominion over the earth. We have dominion over everything. So our sins, our human sins have a direct negative impact what happens in the animal world and what happens in nature. But on the other hand, church family, when we humble ourselves and we acknowledge that God is in control, Jesus will show up and he'll show out when we need him most. I know that's right because the 107th Psalm 19 and 20 from the NLT, New Living Translation, this is what it says. It says, Lord, help, they cried in their trouble, and he, the Lord, saved them from their distress. Listen, and he sent out his work, that means he sent his word, and he healed them, listen, snatching them from the doors of death. That's what happened to Lorenzo. He got snatched by the Lord from the doors of death. He should have died in that car. He should have died. When somebody tells you they can't see and they're still breathing and it's not because of some other medical condition, when they've lost blood, that means they're about to check out of here. But the Lord snatched him from the doors of death. I believe on that day, that August the 4th, as Tony was rushing Lorenzo to the hospital, he was crying out to the Lord in his spirit. Tony knew that Lorenzo was in a life or death situation, but in his spirit, Tony also knew that Jesus is greater than Lorenzo's crisis situation. Amen. In Matthew chapter 19, Jesus told his disciples that it's hard for rich people to get into the kingdom of heaven. He was talking about it's hard for rich people to be saved. In response to what Jesus said, the disciples asked him, they said, well, Lord, then who can be saved? Now, the answer that Jesus gave to that question is referring to salvation, but I know his answer also applies to every area of life, because in Matthew 19 and 26, Jesus said, with man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Tony was crying out in his spirit. to a God that he knows can perform miracles. And the Lord answered, tied off Lorenzo's veins. Because in the excitement of everything that was going on, Tony nor Lorenzo didn't recognize until they got to the hospital. And they didn't even recognize it then. By the time they got him in the hospital, he had stopped bleeding. By the time they got him to the emergency room at Emporia and the doctor came in the room, nobody had put a hand on him. He had stopped bleeding. And it wasn't until he got to Petersburg that he found out why. Because in the midst of the crisis, the Lord showed up, performed a surgical, spiritual miracle, tied off his veins, and saved his life. It was Dr. Jesus who tied off the veins in Lorenzo's left arm and saved his life. That was a physical miracle. But Jesus also does spiritual miracles too. Jesus has performed spiritual emergency surgery on every saved person here. If you are saved, sitting here right now, Jesus has performed spiritual emergency surgery on you. I know that's right because when we have unforgiven sins in our lives, our sin flows through us like poisoned blood in our veins, slowly killing us spiritually and physically. A lot of people are dead right now because of their own sin. And if we die in sin, according to God's word, we will be judged. We will be punished by being sent to hell by a holy and just God. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree it. But read the Bible for yourself. But when we humble ourselves, when we admit our sins, when we ask Jesus to forgive our sins, and we ask him to be our personal Lord and Savior, Jesus performs spiritual, supernatural surgery on us. That surgery that Jesus performs, it stops the flow of sin in our lives, and it saves our souls. All of us are going to die one day, unless Jesus returns first. But if Dr. Jesus performs a spiritual surgery on us, we have the assurance that when we die, we're going to go to heaven. Let me bring this to a close. Tony says that Lorenzo is recovering and he's doing well at home. And Lorenzo has even said that he believes God saved his life for a reason. And Lorenzo says whatever God may ask him to do, he's going to do it. Glory, hallelujah to his name. Says, whatever he asked me to do, I'm going to do it. I have one last thing to say. If you are unsaved, please let Jesus perform spiritual emergency surgery on you today. Amen. Let Jesus tie off your veins to stop the flow of sin-filled blood. The surgery will save your life, and Jesus will use you to save somebody else's life. Yes, we need blood to live, but human blood can only sustain physical life. But the holy, pure blood of Jesus Christ sustains us physically, and it sustains us spiritually, now and forever. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's a song that says there's power, power, all kinds of power. What? In the blood of the Lamb. People talk about the blood. We can call on the blood of Jesus. Demons have to flee. When we say Jesus and we say, I plead the blood of Jesus, because that blood of Jesus has power. That blood of Jesus can change a drunk into an incredibly person of integrity. That blood of Jesus, when that sin-filled blood gets tied up and is replaced with the blood of Jesus, it can turn somebody that was loose and immoral into somebody that's holy and pure. The blood of Jesus can take a mind that's been confused and twisted up, and maybe the devil has gotten in there and changed you, your way of thinking, so you don't know right from wrong. But the blood of Jesus can turn it around, give you clarity, show you what's right, show you what's wrong, show you how God says to live. It's the blood of Jesus that saved you. It's the blood of Jesus that saved me. Not just in the future to come, it's saving us right now. Don't you know that when God looks down on every one of us, I don't care how good you think you are, and you may be good, but you ain't good enough. And I'm not good enough. But when God the Father looks down on you, and he looks down on me, he sees this red. He sees the blood of Jesus that paid the price to cleanse us from our sins. And because he sees the blood of Jesus that makes us shine white as snow, he says we're righteous and we're holy and we're justified and we're sanctified by the blood of Jesus. He shed his blood for us. He shed his blood on a cross. Matter of fact, he shed his blood before he got to the cross. Because the Bible says after they took him out of Pilate's judgment hall, they took him outside and they scourged him. They beat him about to death. Split his back open. Ribs showing. Spine showing. Blood everywhere. That wasn't enough. Made him carry a 300-foot cross up a steep hill. Didn't carry it all the way by himself, but he carried it most of the way by himself. Most folks would have died. Wouldn't even have lasted past the beating. But the blood of Jesus was powerful enough that even though it was coming out of his body, it was enough still to sustain him. Bible tells us that they put nails, spikes, in his hands. More blood in his feet. And as I've said, Ronald Sam, before, we're not talking about those nails you use to drive some wood through the roof of your house. You go out there to that railroad one day, and you look at those railroad stakes that keep that metal down so that train can run on top. That's what they put in his hands. That's what they put in his feet to hold him to that cross. More blood. That wasn't enough. When he didn't die fast enough, the Bible says that some of the soldiers came and pierced him in his side. More blood coming out. His blood and his water. More cleansing for you and me. And then he gave up the ghost. Story wasn't over. Because then they put him in a borrowed tomb. Thought he was dead. But he just laid there. He psyched them out. He fooled them. Stayed there all the rest of Friday. Blood getting stronger. Stayed there Saturday. All Saturday night. Blood getting stronger. Then that same blood that was pouring through his veins, that same blood that he had poured out all over humanity, all on the ground, that same blood had the power within him to bring his mortal body back to life. And they say he got up on that Sunday morning with his own powerful blood coursing through his veins. Oh, yes, and he did have a real body. Don't think he didn't. He told Mary not to touch him, but he had a real body, because when he went to Thomas, he said, look at the holes in my hands. And come, he said, look, come put your hand in the hole in my side. It was his blood, that blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins, gives us strength. When you are saved, something supernatural happens. Yeah, you still got human blood in your body, but your human blood is mixed up now with the blood of Jesus. You got something supernatural in your veins that unsaved folk don't have. They can have it if they want it, but they ain't got it. Because it's that blood in you that transforms you, that changes you from what you used to be to who Jesus wants you to be. Thank Jesus for his blood.